Pastor Ken spoke last Sunday about our new theme for this year, which is Speak Up. That is what he has presented. And if you were here and if you heard a few things, he was talking about how we're going to be encouraging our church this year to speak up. And when we were talking, sitting down and talking about this topic of speaking up, we came to the conclusion as a staff that the stakes are high if we Christians do not speak up. And there's a wonderful quote that I found. This is what it says. To say nothing is saying something. You must denounce things that you are against, or one might believe that you support things that you really don't. People will think that you support things that you don't if you don't speak up and open your mouth. And there's a lot of great examples in the scripture. I'm going to be going over a couple of them, one of them this morning specifically. But I can remember when I was a young boy growing up, having siblings. For those of you that can relate, have siblings. There was multiple times when my siblings were getting into trouble, and I just let them get into trouble and not say anything so that they will learn their lesson. Any siblings like me here sitting this morning? You don't have to be honest, that's fine. There was also many times when my siblings were doing some business that was not appropriate and wasn't good, and I spoke up, and they were spared the trouble from my parents. But more, I will admit, probably 70% of the time, I just let it be, and I let them have the punishment. And I enjoyed it so well. I just loved when they were punished. And then I just loved when I got accused of something that I did, and then I accused them. It was their fault, and it was just, they were the ones that caused all this. So sometimes in life, we have these situations where we speak up and we don't speak up. And then in my adult life, there's been multiple times when I didn't speak up when I was supposed to. I just let things happen. And I just thought to myself, it's just not worth for me to speak up. Let them bear the consequences and see what happens. And there was multiple times when I got convicted by the Holy Spirit to actually speak up and say what I needed to say to spare some trouble, some people. And I did. And it had happened. But there was multiple times where I didn't, and I missed an opportunity to speak up. There was a gentleman in the scripture we're going to go over in a minute that had an assignment to speak up. But before we get to the story, that story, when I was talking to Pastor Ken about this, what I was thinking about sharing this morning, I have never heard anyone have a sermon on the prophet named Jonah. I grew up in a church, and up until this point, I've never heard anybody speak a sermon on Jonah. And Jonah was a simple man. He was a prophet, and he had a message that needed to be delivered. We're going to be going through his story this morning and covering some points that I have here. We're not going to read the whole thing because there's a lot there, but I'm just going to point out a few things about Jonah's life. Now, if you were a child, you probably remember, if you grew up in church in a Bible school, that you heard the story of Jonah. And that's where I heard first time the story of Jonah. When my Sunday school teachers taught me, there was this guy who was disobedient. He didn't listen to God. And he went a different direction. He got swallowed by the fish. That was the big thing that I remember about him. And then the fish puked him out, and he finally listened, and he went and did what he needed to do. That was a story, and that was it. When I was in my Bible college, I was doing some research and trying to figure out, is this story true? Is this just a tale? Is this just an allegory? Is this something that, you know, people are just talking about, a guy got eaten by a fish? I mean, come on, like, it doesn't make any sense. And then there was actually an event that happened back in 1891, England, I believe. Two fishermen were out, disappeared. One of them died. They found him. The other one couldn't find. And then few days later, it was the third day, they found this big whale, and there was a fisherman inside of his belly, unconscious, still alive. So that's a story that was back, that was told multiple times. But then there was a story, and you might have heard it. It was just recent, 2 years ago. There was a gentleman called Michael Packard. He was a commercial lobster diver out of Massachusetts, and he got swallowed by a humpback whale. and at the Cape Cod, and he survived. Anybody heard that story? Just 2 years ago, it was all over the news. And if you go on YouTube and watch this documentary, I was just amazed. But he was talking to the interviewer, and they both got so emotional thinking about how crazy this story is. I mean, the scientists are saying it's like one in a billion that this would happen. This guy was just doing minding his own business, picking up the lobsters at the bottom of the sea, and he got swallowed by this massive whale. And he was in it for about a minute, they said, or maybe a little more than a minute. But he was telling the story. You have to see it. I can't describe it. But he's telling the story. He's crying. He's saying, the only thing I could think of is, this is it, and my two boys at home. And then it was just like a minute or 2 minutes later, he found himself on the shore, couldn't believe what happened. And it's crazy, but you look at the scriptures, and there's stories that talk about some of the miraculous things. You know, we have Jesus feeding 5,000, walking on water, parting of the Red Sea, all these crazy miracles. But then some of the scientists will say, well, you know, we don't believe, especially Jonah, like that doesn't make any sense. But then we see that happen in real life. And then on top of that, Jesus, who was teaching the people about the kingdom of God, tells the people about the story of Jonah. He confirms it. He confirmed a lot of stories, but one of the stories they confirmed was Jonah. And this is what he says. The Pharisees come to Jesus and they ask him, Jesus, if you are the one, give us a sign right now. We want you to give us a sign so that we would believe that you are the Messiah. And then Jesus says to them, the sinful people of this day look for something special to see. They look for a sign. There will be nothing special to see but the powerful works of the early preacher Jonah. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the stomach of a big fish. Now I'm reading for Matthew 12, 38, 39, 30, and 40. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the stomach of a big fish, and the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the grave also, and the men of the city of Nineveh will stand up with the people of this day on the day before God, and those men will say that these people are guilty because the men of Nineveh were sorry for their sins, and they turned away as Jonah preached. And see, someone greater than Jonah is here. This is words from Jesus' mouth. Someone greater than Jonah is among us. And as we dive into this story of Jonah, there's a lot of great lessons. I'm going to share just four with you this morning. But this whole thing about speaking up and our theme for this year, I want to share my take on it from the story of Jonah. And the title of my message is simply, The Power of Speaking Up. The Power of Speaking Up. So many assignments that God has given to multiple people in the scripture involved speaking up. We have one of the people was Moses, and we'll get to him in a moment, but Moses was one of those people that God came to him and told him, you gotta take my nation out of Egypt. And then Moses kept on giving all these excuses to God of why he couldn't do it. And one of them was, I can't speak properly. And God said, no, you're going to go and speak to him. So fast track now to Jonah. Jonah was a guy who had a mission to accomplish, but he ran from it. And sometimes in this life, we have a mission from God, and we have something that he speaks to us, and we simply just run from that. Do you ever feel like you run from God? Do you ever feel like someone that runs from a responsibility, a calling? And maybe sometimes you feel an urge to say something or speak up in a situation, but you just simply don't. And here's my big idea for today. There is a tremendous impact and benefit when we do what we are called to do and when we speak up. I'll say that one more time. There is a tremendous impact and benefit when we do what we're called to do and when we speak up. Now, not to read the whole story of Jonah, I'm just going to read the chapter 1 few verses, and then we're going to go right into it. This is what it says in Jonah chapter 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up, and he went into the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving at Tarshish, and he bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord. But then the Lord sent a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. And fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help, and they threw all the cargo overboard to lighten up the ship, thinking it's going to help them out. But all this time, Jonah is in the ship, and he is sound asleep. Reminds me a little bit of Jesus. Being in a storm, there's a storm happening, and Jonah is just snoring. For all the snorers in the house. He's just snoring, and he doesn't know what is going on. But then, the captain looks at him, and he goes to him, and he goes, "How can you sleep at this time? Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare us our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods, and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, well, guess what happened? The lots identified Jonah as the one who was wrong. "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they asked Jonah. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What's your nationality?" Come on, all the questions that we would ask the people that cause us issues in life. Jonah answered, "I am Hebrew, and I worship the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." And the sailors, they were terrified when they heard this. And many of them, for he had already told them that he was running away from the Lord. So they asked him, "So what did you do?" And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked, "What should we do to stop this storm?" And then Jonah just replies, "Throw me into the sea, and it will become calm again. I know that this is a terrible storm, and it's all my fault." Instead, the sailors, they rowed even harder to get the ship to the land. Stormy sea was too violent for them. They couldn't make it. So they cried out to the Lord, to Jonah's God, "Oh Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold responsible for his death. Lord, please do something." And then the sailors picked up Jonah and they threw him into the raging sea. And the storm just stopped all at once. And then the verse 16 is so amazing. It says this, "The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice, and they vowed to serve him," right there on the spot. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. So I'll stop here, and we'll go over a few things. But man, isn't it amazing that sometimes when people run away from God, God can still use that situation for good? And there were people that were on that ship that gave their life to God because of what they saw happen with Jonah. Now, Jonah was about to die. He didn't even know. He was just thrown into the sea. He didn't even know what was happening. But there were people getting saved because of what happened. That's just the proof that God can always use every situation and circumstance for good. But here's four lessons I want to share with you this morning really quickly. The number one thing is we all have assignment from above. We all have assignment from God. We all have purpose. We have so many people in this life that live day to day purposeless, without purpose, and they don't know what their purpose is. See, we are all brought into this kingdom on this world, and we all have something to accomplish. Jesus said, "Go into all of the world and preach my gospel, my word." And this definitely involves us as well. This is a significant task that Jesus is leaving with us. To preach, all you really need is to open your mouth sometimes and speak up. But sometimes you may not need to open your mouth. Sometimes you may just have to show with your actions and your deeds as well. And Jonah's assignment as a prophet was to go to this great city of Nineveh in verse 2. And you as well, just like Jonah, you're called by God to do something very meaningful in this life. And what you need to remember is that you should never lose sight of that. You have an assignment, and God has a mission for you. God has something that you need to do with your life. It's very meaningful, and it's very impactful. See, Jonah had specific instructions to go to this city and preach the repentance and forgiveness. And ours really is not much different as Christians. No matter where we live, where we reside, what we do, the Great Commission is simply going to all of the world and preach about this good news. That's what Jesus was also speaking about when he was on this earth. He was talking about this kingdom that's at hand, that's among us. That was his whole message. That's what he was, all his life was all about that. And then he also, when he was leaving, he said, wait to receive this power, and the Spirit will come at you, and the Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses all across the world. And Jonah had really specific instructions. He was just to go to this city. Now, the city of Nineveh, if you don't know much about it, it was a city that had 150,000 people, and it was Assyrians. They were not following the Lord, and they were all very violent people. So Jonah, thinking to himself, I ain't going there. I'm not going to go there because if I go and tell them something, they're probably going to kill me. He was probably afraid of people, and he just ran. Not even like Moses. Moses at least gave some excuses to God. And he said, God, well, I can't do this, I can't do this. But Jonah didn't say anything. He just ran the opposite direction. And sometimes we think, and this is what Jonah thought, that his assignment is not possible to do. He ignored the assignment and the call that he had. And it's normal sometimes for us as humans living in this flesh to oppose and to resist God's call for our life. God calls us, God says, I want you to do this, and then we do something completely different. He says, I want you to go there, and we just go a completely opposite way. He told us, stop doing that, and we start doing something completely opposite. See, the human tendency is to avoid divine instructions, difficult tasks, which simply highlights our fears and hesitations. But because Jesus has, when he was leaving, he said this, I'm going to give you the power. When I leave, wait for the Spirit, it will give you power, and you will be able to be my witnesses when this power comes at you. So that tells us that you and I, among all the hesitations, insecurities, and fears that we have, naturally speaking, we have the Spirit power in us to give us the courage to go forward and be the witnesses. Now, what happens if we don't follow? And if we don't do what God wants us to do? Here's the point number two. Our disobedience will affect us and others. Jonah 1:3 says this, Jonah ran away from the Lord and he headed to Tarshish. You see, the consequence, our choices have consequences. Every action and every choice that we make will affect us. And not only affect us, but it will also affect people around us. There's a coach, John Wooden. He said that there's a choice that you have to make in everything that you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make will make you. It will affect us. It will affect our friendships, our relationships among us. It will affect our children, families, and so many people around us. And sometimes we're just one simple choice away from a totally different life. Jonah was just one choice away from a completely different life. But what happened when he avoided God's call? It led him to turmoil, both internally and externally, with a storm. He was lost. He was in confusion. He was in despair. I mean, who in their right mind would say, throw me in a sea in the middle of the storm? This shows a little bit of a sign of depression. He was depressed. He was sad that he missed out. He knew that he was running away from God, and he just wanted to die. And sometimes in life, when we run away from what God wants us to do, we have this feeling of sadness and depression of what is my meaning of life, and we get in this state of mind that is not healthy. Many people live in this confusion and in this despair. Many are lost. This personal distress, a sense of being trapped. You know, what am I going to do with my life? What's going on? And we often think the choices that we make will not affect people around us, and they will not affect us. But simply, they will affect us first, the most, and then everybody else around us. You see, in this case, Jonah made a choice to run away, and then he got on a ship where these simple people were, and he not only caused a storm, the storm was affecting these fishermen, the sailors, and there was so much trouble that they were so upset and they were so distraught that they were so afraid to lose their life. And sometimes when we choose to run away from God, we can do the same to people around us. Bring fear, confusion. There's no way out. There's no clarity. And because storm that came put everybody at risk, he put the whole ship at risk because he was running away from God. You see, we all have a calling, and it's what we do with the calling that will make all the difference in this life. If we hold a tongue when we're supposed to speak, good things may not come out of that. He was called upon to say something to these people, but then he ended up having all these troubles in his life because he didn't say it. So, what first thing that I think happened in his life, obviously I mentioned it, is he was afraid of people. What will people say about me? What will people think? People will kill me, people will persecute me, and I will not be able to survive this. And we live in this world where we're surrounded by people, we're surrounded in a culture, we live in a culture that is very woke, and there's really no light out there except the Word of God and the Christians. Morale has depleted. Everyone lives by their own pleasures, desires, and we have a message to say. And the message is simply this: repent from your sins, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is here. Not the kingdom of this world, it is the kingdom of heaven, which is a spiritual kingdom. See, Jonah's decision affected everybody around him. And simply, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, it will affect all the people around us as well. Which leads me to the point number three, and this is one of the most powerful redemptive stories that I've read in Scripture. God is a God of multiple chances. Amen? God is the God who gives us a chance over and over and over again. In Jonah 2:2, when he was in a deep darkness of the whale, he cries out to God, he prays, he says, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me, and I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. When we pray to God, God hears us. And then verse 10, he says this, then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. And then God gives him a second chance. And he says, now you ran away, now go and speak what you need to speak. You see, there's two ways that God shows mercy. Obviously, to the people of Nineveh who were not part of the Abraham lineage, they were not part of the Israel, God wanted to show mercy to them. And there was something that God wanted for them. But then also God shows mercy to Jonah, who disobeyed God and told him, here's a second chance. Here's a second shot at this. You can do this. See, God's plan ultimately for all of humanity is mercy, and he wants to extend that to everybody. He has grace and forgiveness for every person on this world. And when Jonah was in that belly, in that dark place, he cried out. He came to his senses in the whale, in the fish, the big gray fish. And this morning I want to ask you a question. What is your whale experience that you are in? What is the thing that's causing you to repent? Oftentimes we get into trouble. We get in a problem and crisis in life. And then in a crisis, we cry out to God and we turn to God. When we're in a dark place, because of disobedience, we can only do one thing, and that is to simply pray and ask God for repentance and forgiveness. And what our sincere prayers can do is they can actually turn situations around. There's so many times in the Scripture that you see when people prayed, when people honestly, truly repented, God came through with his mercy, and he is forgiven. Over and over again, in the Old Testament, there was another city that didn't obey and didn't follow God's command. And we know the story in the Old Testament. We just went through it, the Sodom and Gomorrah. There's times when big kings have come down and truly repented, and God said, I will remember your sins no more because you have repented. Which leads me to this fourth point, which I'm going to finish with, and this is what it simply says. When we obey, miracles take place. Jonah 3:3, this is what he says. And this really is a miracle. When you really think about this story, in the right mind, you would think, okay, everything, every single event that's happening in this story is a miracle. Especially this one. I think this is the biggest miracle of all time because it's the first time ever that this has happened. And this is what happened. The time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. That was a simple one-liner, one message that he shared with the people. And the people of Nineveh believed God's message. Now listen to this. And from the greatest to the least, from the smallest child to the oldest, they declared a fast and they put on burlap to show their sorrow. It was a sign of sorrow. When you put the burlap on you, you are humble and you are actually repenting. But then verse 6, now this is even crazier. When the king, who was, the scripture talks about this king, you can read about him. He was an evil, violent king. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne. He took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and he sat on a heap of ashes. That is the lowest you can go at that time to humble yourself. He sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent the decree throughout the whole city. And this is what they said. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. Even the animals repented. The whole city had turned around. Imagine. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. This is now the king commanding to everybody. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all the violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. In verse 10, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and he did not carry out the destruction that he put in the first place. Isn't it amazing what repentance can do? It can completely change God's mind. It can take the child, take the oldest person there, take all of the animals and cats and dogs and turtle doves and everybody else. Everybody repents when the word of God is spoken. It was a very simple message as well. If you notice here, it was just repent, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. That was enough. Now, there is a miracle that just took place, and that's why I want to drive this point home. When we obey and we do what God calls us to do and what he tells us to do, miracles almost always take place. Because God's word is powerful. There's power in his words. Even though it's the simplest message of the gospel, repent and believe, it has so much power and so much weight that even the hardest of hearts can change. The worst of human beings that you think in your mind, there's no hope for this guy, can change in a blink of an eye because of the powerful power of God's word. You see, you and I are meant to be someone else's miracle. We are to carry ourselves as a miracle every day for someone else. You know, every day when we wake up, before we go to bed, we have to think about this. We are someone else's miracle. People in Nineveh were not nice people. Jonah did not want to face them, but there was a transformative power when he decided to speak up. It was after all the trouble that he'd gone through. But he realized later on that there was power in what the message that he had to deliver. there was the blessing, there was the fulfillment that came with this obeying God's voice. So oftentimes in our lives, we have missed opportunities for the blessings that God wants to put on us and give us because we don't follow through with what He's calling us to do. But we can always, in a moment, change that with a simple prayer of repentance and with a simple decision to say, I'm going to be the one who's going to speak up. We can reverse the curse in our life and the other people's lives. There is power in our message. The greatest movement of history of mankind that's ever happened was here, right in the moment. This has never happened from the beginning of the world, and it's never happened up until today, that the whole city of 150,000 people transformed in a day. It's never happened before. And it was simply this short, simple message. See, sometimes in life we may be missing the great move of God in our lives and the lives of our people around us because we don't speak up, because we hold back. There is an important, really important assignment for all of us to follow. What can happen if we don't follow on God's will for our lives? I really think and I believe that the stakes are high if we don't do what we're called to do. What if we decide today to fully submit to God's call for our lives? What if we overcome the fear of people? What will people say? Caring about so much about what will he or she think of me? What will my workplace think of me? What will this person think? What will my cousin and my friend doesn't? What will people think of me? What if we just overcome that fear and we start speaking up more? See, our voice, when we realize this, everything is going to change. Our voice is the voice of God. Our words are the words of God. What we speak, if it's spiritual, it's from the Spirit. To many people, it's the voice of reason. It's the voice of truth. It's the words of depth that will really convict someone to change. And I love the story of Isaiah. If you know a little bit about his story, God came and he was looking for a prophet. And he said, who will I send? I'm going to read this, Isaiah 6:8. He says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to his people? Who will go for us? And then Isaiah said, I said, here I am, send me. Did you know that Isaiah was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived in the scripture? It has so many chapters, but almost every single prophecy about Jesus, it was Isaiah the prophesied that came true. Even to this day, we read Isaiah 56. And we read all the amazing prophecies. You see, Isaiah was used by God in such power and strength because he said, God, here I am. Send me. I'm going to be a prophet. You see, you and I, our mission and our task and our goal is to be the recipients of God's grace. The same grace that God extended to you and me, forgiving us our sins, giving us a new life, is that we are called to extend that same grace to other people around us. There is a tremendous impact and benefit when we do what we do and when we speak up. There's power in our words. Martin Luther King Jr. said this. It is so powerful. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And then another one that really, really is kind of goes along with my message. If I can just find it. It doesn't matter, I can't find it. We will be remembered by not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. We're going to be remembered by the words that we have spoken and things that we have said. Why don't we just all stand up? I want to pray for you. I want to take some opportunity here to pray for everybody. And we're going to have some prayer people come forward, prayer team. I want to give you an opportunity here at this moment to really, I'll pray for you, but then I want you also to, if this message spoke to you and you were convicted in your heart and you want to pray specifically for something, you can come forward. Here's three things I want to highlight. I want to highlight first repentance, our own repentance for not doing what God wanted us to do, and also repentance from our sins and from just missing the mark. That's what sin is, missing the task, missing what God is calling us to do. Then I want to pray for clarity on the assignment that God has called us and the boldness and the strength, the courage to speak up. Those are the three things I want to pray for. And if you really want that this morning, if you want to pray, I'll pray for all of us. But I just encourage you as we close this service, just come forward and we'll pray for you together. I think that 2024 is going to be a great year for all of us, especially in our lives when we are able to speak up and we're able to open our mouth. So Father God, this morning we thank you for your word that's alive, that's true, that's convicting us, that's working in us, that's changing us, that's transforming us. I pray that this same word would continue to transform us. I just pray right now that we all repent, God, for every time that we were able to speak up and we didn't, every time we had an opportunity and we missed, and we pray that you would give us a chance to keep going forward into the assignment and the call that you have put in our life. God, give us the courage, give us the boldness that we need, and I pray that you would just lead us with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage, Jesus. We know that without you in our lives, we can do nothing. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your strength. Just like Jonah, who came to his senses, we want to come to our senses and we want to repent and we want to follow your ways and your word and your will and your mission for us, because it's better than anything. We don't want to miss out. We want to be the people that will speak up, will say what we need to say, and also at the same time be used by you. We thank you, Jesus, for your power. Thank you for your strength. Bless everyone here this morning. Fill us with your peace. And may we have an amazing week ahead. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. 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 God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.